Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome you. The Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. I was reading an article today in USA Today talking about the strength of car sales as an example. Look, and there's a real reason why there's a strength in car sales when you talk about Sunbury Motors. A, great people, great product, okay? All right? They don't sit there and negotiate and what can we do. They're very straight with you. They want to know, okay, what's your budget, okay? What's your family, household situation, so forth. You know, this is going to work best for you, right? They have your interest in mind, okay? It's about you. It's not about them, okay? So that's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and the service departments are off the charts, as Mr. Buhner will attest to over and over again. So very proud, pleased to be associated with a class organization in Sunbury Motors. All right, the World Cup is over. Well, not really, but for the U.S. it is. Tim Howard was spectacular yesterday. Look, it's a young team, a gutty team, a gritty team. They did well. But at the same time, I mean, we do have an American standard for what we're watching here, all right? I mean, again, as I said, and I'll go back to what I originally said about the World Cup, if they got out of the group stage to the knockout stage, I said everything after that would be gravy. I think that's my exact quote, right?
I believe it was.
Okay, which they did. So to me, that's success. All right. Now let's apply it to overall success. I mean, I've had so many people, oh, boy, that's great. Boy, that's great. They did go 0-2-1 their last three games. I mean, if the Steelers or the Phillies or the Pirates or the Eagles or the Penguins or the Sixers, well, Sixers, forget that, you know, or Penn State goes winless in their last three games, there is panic all over the airwaves, and we can't keep 800-795-9565. We can't find open lines, correct?
Oh, yeah. The instant the phone number becomes active, the lines become hot and filled up quickly.
That's if they lose three, if they're winless in three straight games.
They could be winless in two straight games. It would be like that.
Right. Well, I realize soccer has a different standard to it. And having to play Portugal and Germany, two quality sides, Germany's outstanding, Portugal's really good. And playing as well and as hard as they did, no doubt success. And there's a lot of youth on this team. Another show of success. But you still go 0-2-1 your last three. I don't think that constitutes it's time to sit down and say, what day's the parade?
Well, I mean, as a person watching, I won't say fan because that's not true, but as a person watching it, was I happy with the way they played in extra time? I thought they played gritty in extra time. I don't think they played nearly as gritty the entire match. I thought they played not to lose in the first 90 minutes and then went down 2-0 and figured, well, let's just let it all hang out. I think if they would have played let it all hang out, it might have been actually worse than 2-1 because I think they would have taken advantage of every mistake at that point.
Now, here's the other part that I want to get to. We're going to get to Nate Bauer, by the way, next half hour, a little Penn State basketball recruiting news, which is important moving the program forward, especially now you get three guys in the ESPN Top 150 now verbally committed. We're going to talk about that next half hour. But here's the other part that I want to get to. I'm getting a little tired of our sport is better than your sport. And I don't care which way it goes. I don't care if it's soccer people saying our sport's better than your sport, or hockey or baseball people saying our sport's better than your sport. I could care less. I think it's just really cool you're a fan of any sport. I think it's great that you're a fan of any sport. Not everybody in the world's a wrestling fan. Yet we have a ton of wrestling fans up and down the valley. Not everyone's a fan of soccer, yet we have certainly a fair share of soccer fans in the country, and people who nationalistically will look at the front of the jersey and say, hey, the United States is playing, I'm now a fan. That's great. I'm glad that you can find something. I don't care if it's hockey, football, wrestling, volleyball. I don't care what it is. I really appreciate anyone who's a fan of any sport. And I think the comparisons of my sport's better than your sport, or it's more interesting, or your sport doesn't have this, or you nitpicky that, or whatever. After a while, that stuff gets to be a little petty. And there's no need for it. I think it's just really cool that you enjoy any sport. If it turns out you're just a one-sport person and your sport happens to be, I don't know, pick one, wrestling. You are thoroughly engrossed in wrestling. You can't watch enough high school wrestling. You can't watch enough collegiate wrestling. You really want to get to the Big Ten Championships. You want to get to the EWLs. You want to get to the National Championship, whatever happens to be, because that's your passion and that's what you enjoy. I say great. I think it's great that you're interested in a sport. It's a fun thing to be interested in. If you're a fan of multiple sports, that's great too. But I just don't like the comparison of, oh, our sport's better than your sport, because here's, oh, I understand having pride in it, but don't put down somebody else's passion, especially when it's a benign passion. I mean, enjoying a sport is.
Well, and you know, I hear a lot of that back and forth that you're talking about. And I do it with Sean Carey here in the building, because Sean Carey's been watching Premier League and watches it a lot. Now, I do it in jest, but you can make comparisons and say, well, this is why I don't like it as much. I think that's okay, but to sit there and...
Oh, sure. You could say, you know, I'm a soccer fan. I'm not really a hockey fan. Here's why I love soccer. I have no problem with that. I just don't like the ones that sit there and go, sport's a lot better than your sport. Yeah, I was listening to, obviously it'd be another group, but Colin Cowherd. He does this thing about, you know, I mean, hockey fan, things a hockey fan. It's like, what do we need the five-year-old conversation for? Hockey ratings are the highest they've been in a long time. Are they the same as the World Cup ratings? No. Are they the same as the NFL ratings? No. But people are interested in sports these days, and they love sports. And look at the number of young people, boys and girls, that are participating in sports. I mean, a red-hot sport that Kevin's talked about up and down the valley is lacrosse right now. Okay. Lacrosse is getting to be a hot sport. It's still very much a regional sport, mid-Atlantic sport. But from the Syracuse area all the way down to the Baltimore area, and now, obviously, points in between, you have more and more people that are interested in participating in it. And I think it's great that they participate. Let's take, like, for example, my sons. My son Dan played basketball. That's what he loved to do. He played baseball. My son Mike played football, and he played baseball. And Mike also dabbles in basketball as well. That's what they like to do. Christopher played baseball, all right? That's what they enjoy doing. Kevin's son, for example, is involved in track and field. He is involved in wrestling. He is involved in football. He's doing baseball right now as well. And there's a lot of things that you get out of that as a youngster. And look, all the young people playing soccer all over the place. And I think that's great, right? Would I rather have them playing football? No, I'd just rather have them play something, okay? I'd rather have them participate in something, understand the purpose of teamwork, understand the purpose of leadership, understand how to pick up a teammate when they're down, how to seize the moment. how to encourage. I mean, there's a lot of things that sports gives you that down the road it's going to pay dividends, even if you don't participate in that sport past the age of 12 or 18.
See, I've said this for a long time. I've said this for a long time, Steve. If there are things that you'll learn in sports, this is why I'm a big supporter of extracurricular sports in schools, especially. In high school, it's your grade, it's your report card, it's everything that you've done to benefit yourself. But you don't always have that interaction like you do in the real world, where your performance also affects the next person over, or the next part of that workplace, or the next team. And that's something that these sports do at the youth level especially, that you can't get in a regular educational setting.
I think that's exactly right, and I think it's very well said. I think that's what it gives you. Now, do we see, obviously, like anything, a tough side to it? For example, Doug Wojcik, the College of Charleston basketball coach, they say he verbally abused players. Well, he's going to be suspended for the month of August at the College of Charleston. Okay, we know about the Mike Rice situation at Rutgers. He's no longer the head basketball coach. Rashad McCants, what he's accused at North Carolina, where he says, hey, look, they wrote the papers for me. Yeah, we see that stuff all the time. But the positives exponentially outweigh the negatives. And by the way, this goes for other things. Cheerleading, band, okay, whatever it happens to be. All right, anything where you can participate in something. I mean, the amount of coordination and teamwork it takes to be in band, for example. You may be an outstanding individual in a certain area, but you have to blend and make sure that you fit with everybody else. Band is an incredible thing to be in. Same thing with cheerleading. Coordination and teamwork it takes there. Beyond just sports, not just the sports we talk about in youth sports, I just see the benefits over and over and over as to what sports can mean. So when I look at, for example, soccer person saying, oh, ours is superior, well, I'm glad you love your sport, but there's no need to put down the other guy's sport. Just explain why you like yours better. And by the way, on the receiving end of it, respect that they also love sport and that you love your sport for a particular reason. It's one of the great things about it is that, different tastes for different people. Right, and that's what makes it. That's what makes the blend that we have. Whether it's in this country, in our area, in this state, whatever makes where we live so great, because you can have different tastes, different passions, and have it all blend together. I find it to be exhilarating to have so many people with so many different interests. Right now, we have Wimbledon going on. Right, there are, there may not be a lot of them, but there are some tennis fans out there right now that are really interested in what's wrong with Serena Williams. They're really interested in the fact that Rafa Nadal got knocked out and Federer won today. I mean, we don't talk about it that often. I mean, we've had Patrick McEnroe on the show before, all right, but at the same time, there are people that love tennis. Okay, that's great. They love to play it. They love to watch it. Whatever. Some people love golf. Love to play it. Love to watch it. We just have diverse interests. That's what makes this show, to me, a lot of fun, because we can talk about the various interests. And as you've noticed by the guest list over the last 3 years, we've tried to do that. I mean, what sport haven't we had a guest on for?
High lie. Well, it's true. I don't know that that's a highlight true, nearby, any. But,
Yes, well, when they build a fronton in Sealands Grove, we'll do the show live from there.
I'm just impressed fronton.
Hey, that Pallotta travels 160 miles per hour out of that basket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Muggy, huh? 91 degrees. Wow. Feels like July. When did that happen? That's right, it is July. A few moments, we're going to talk with Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. Let's say basketball news. So spend a few minutes with him about that, then back to our conversation about the value of sports and, you know, with the World Cup being, you know, for the United States now done. Let's be honest here. I mean, it's a really nice run. Now the quarterfinals come up. The U.S. will not be involved. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of ratings it gets. It should, by the way, the ratings should actually be pretty good here from here on out. I mean, you know, because people are, you know, excited about the fact that they're seeing all of this. So that's a plus, no question about that. All right, so Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. One thing is, obviously, I can't talk about recruits, but, Nate, you could talk about recruits, and it looks like Patrick Chambers is building himself a pretty solid class here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and to be, you know, just to be perfectly honest, there really wasn't a lot of interest, you know. I mean, from the fan side, recruits themselves, there just wasn't a big scene for Penn State basketball recruiting, I think, you know, in part because the program just never seemed to really get off the ground, in terms of jumping into the world of big time college hoops. Josh Reeves committing last night, you know, we're not talking about a five star. We're not talking about the biggest deal in the world, but it's one of those things that, you know, when the national recruiting analyst from Rivals.com turns his head and comes over to Penn State site and starts to comment, that's kind of a, you know, your ears perk up a little bit, because it means that you know, on the grander scale of things, Penn State's starting to kind of make a dent. You know, you've got Josh Reeves and Mike Watkins, this 15 kid who is tall and beastly and jumps out of the building, and then Davis, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
That's my job.
But, you know,
that's my job. That's my job down the road.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that, Steve. So, yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, with those three guys.
Yeah, he and I will have a long talk.
Real class nationally.
Yeah, and that's the difference. It's the combination of everybody together, right, Nate?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, they would, and even under Patrick Chambers, you know, it was really tough for him in terms of the circumstances that he took the job. You know, starting in June, that initial class, you know, with Okosa, you know, there wasn't really an opportunity to make big inroads right off the bat. You know, at Boston University, he wasn't recruiting kids that would be at the level to go to Penn State, and we saw that with Okosa eventually leaving. You know, but as things have kind of gone along, you know, you've seen kids like Geno Thorpe come into the program. You've seen Julian Moore. You've seen Shep Garner and Isaiah Washington. And then it was one of those things where, you know, there would be one or two, and now all of a sudden you're seeing three in all three of these guys being pretty talented prospects. You know, you're starting to see them build in terms of a complete class rather than just one or two guys who might be on the level to actually not just compete in the Big Ten, but, you know, potentially, I don't want to be a prognosticator here, but potentially, you know, really, really compete and probably win down the line.
I went over it for a little bit and watched. That's the most talent I've seen at a Penn State elite camp. That's my opinion. What was yours?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And to be honest with you, Josh Reeves said the same thing. So when I had an opportunity to talk to him afterwards, that was one of the first things he said was, look at all these kids. look at how good this talent is. And we're not just talking about 15 kids. And certainly there were a substantial number of good 15 kids, but the encouraging thing for Penn State should be the fact that they had kids coming up from that Maryland, D.C. corridor
right.
who are big-time prospects, 16, 17, a couple of kids from Pittsburgh. I said this earlier today in reacting to Reeves, it's extremely important. You know, Patrick's vision for this program is to recruit the base, you know, that footprint. I mean, all of the things that Penn State football relies on, basketball isn't necessarily in the exact same situation, but Pittsburgh, Philly, D.C., Baltimore, if you can get your core kids out of those areas, you're going to have a lot of success as a basketball program, and now you start to see that happen.
I mean, everyone knows I've been around this for 3.5 decades. The one thing that I've discovered over time is that you do have to give a coach that coaches Penn State basketball time. Now, time is something you didn't see in a lot of programs, but a Penn State basketball coach needs time.
Absolutely. It is essential, and it's the thing that not enough people understand or have the patience for. And that's the most intriguing part of covering Penn State basketball to me is, you know, the mistakes of the past carry over to the future, you know? And so I think that Eddie had certainly had his share of challenges to try to overcome. But, some of Eddie's mistakes in terms of completely bare covered by the time that he left, you know, Patrick had to take over for that. So, you know,
yeah.
sort of think, you know, when people say that Patrick Chambers should have been able to produce more this past year in his third season, it's really kind of disingenuous, at least in my mind, because it wasn't
no
really
question.
The third year. It was more like the second year, with the first year being just a train wreck, you know, to try to get the train back on the tracks. You know, it's one of those things where you gotta steady the ship before you can start to actually make moves and choose a direction that you're going to go. So, you know, I think that moving forward, now that Shep Garner and Isaiah Washington are in, now that Geno Thorpe and Julian Peyton Banks, you know, some of those guys, now that they're on campus and they're starting to move through the system, you know, Chambers actual players, the kids that he's recruiting, mm-hmm. I think it will start to be fair to judge him based on wins and losses in the coming years. And you know, that doesn't even necessarily mean that this year is going to be a great year. But you can see the makings of, you know, maybe next year and the year after, where they're going to have a pretty solid nucleus of players for, you know, to build this program on.
Exactly. I mean, just to give a little perspective, Ross Travis, who will be a big plus this year, is still on the roster that Patrick Chambers didn't recruit going into his fourth year. That tells you a little story there. Nate, we have to take a break, but I appreciate the time you gave us very much, my friend.
Hey, anytime. Thanks, Steve.
State Power, Blue White Illustrated. Man, let's take that break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Stopping in your street, inviting people there with me, going
mobile,
but not agile.
Really? I can tell you that.
We may
agile
be mobile,
a
but
a long time ago.
Yeah, we may be mobile, yeah, but agile is gone.
Agile left a long time ago, my man. I can tell you that right now. we were talking before about I don't want people out there saying, oh, my sports so much. I mean, you can see now, superior. Superior what? Each sport brings something to the table that I strongly encourage for boys and girls. Boys and girls. And there are other activities as well. I mentioned being in band, for example. Now, none of mine were in band and did not go into that discipline. Did not. But it takes tremendous discipline, skill, work, and then to be in a marching band, teamwork, and to be a part of something. I mean, that's important as well. And we talk about the experience of a high school football Friday night. All the experiences we just talked about are together. Just take that sport as an example. Football, teamwork, hard work that goes into it, coaching, respect for discipline, all right, to go with the band being there and everything that they do and go through, which is the same, respect for discipline, hard work, teamwork, so forth. Cheerleading, same thing. With the entire town coming together and rooting for their team.
Yeah, that's something I always wondered,
that's
Steve.
That's a neat experience, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was just gonna add. What is it about high school, and I'm going to pick high school football because you mentioned it there. What is it about that particular sport that becomes more of a community event than maybe a high school baseball game or even a high school basketball game? I think part of it is what you're talking about right there. The fact that you have your cheerleaders there, the band is there, the football team is there. You have all those parents that are coming in to watch their kids perform or do whatever it is that they're doing as a part of that event. It's probably the one scholastic activity that really encompasses more than just one or two groups.
Well, it's the largest numbers, okay? So the largest numbers as football players, largest numbers marching band as opposed to a pep band, largest numbers of cheerleaders as opposed to there's only so many that you need for a basketball or wrestling match. But there's another element to it as well. And the other element is it's once a week and it's on a Friday night. Okay, you've gone through the work week. Okay, most people, not everyone, but most people have Saturday off. Most people have worked all week and they get to Friday night and it's a great fun release to go to and be with friends who, whether your child's on the team or a friend's child happens to be on the team or a friend's child's in the band or whatever, or you've always gone on Friday nights because you've enjoyed it. The weather is also usually really good, September, October, and because it's once a week and it's not a Tuesday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday, or even a Monday, the fact that it's a Friday night and it's once a week and you build up and you look forward to it, I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about. And it brings all those elements together. And I think that's why in this state and in so many states, high school football on a Friday night is so popular. The once a week, when it's played on a Friday night, the fact that, hey, we finally get there. Hey, let's go. There's camaraderie. There's that feeling of, rooting for your team. It also takes it from, there are tens of millions of Pittsburgh Steelers fans. There are hundreds of thousands of Penn State fans. But there happens to be 10,000 Shikellamy fans in our town. It's our town. It's taken it all the way down to the local level. Our town against your town. Okay? Our town against your town in a fun competition between the two. And I think that has a lot to do with it. What a great night. My town, Sealands Grove, beat your town, Danville.
I'm telling you right now, I spent a lot of Friday night.
Or to make you feel better, Danville beat Sealands Grove.
All right, thanks. They don't play anymore, so it's not a big problem. But I've spent a lot of Friday nights at high school football stadiums, and it still even amazes me after 20, 30 years of doing this that there are so many people that have the tie to what we're talking about, to maybe a player on the field or someone in the band or, you know, a family member in cheerleading. There's just as many that do as don't have any ties to anybody on the field but come out because of that community atmosphere that you're talking about.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what I see, for example, in minor league baseball, for example. Let's take minor league baseball. Williamsport as a team, Reading as a team, Harrisburg as a team, State College as a team. Right? What do they sell in minor league baseball? Okay? They sell the experience. They don't sell the baseball. Have you noticed that? They don't sit there and sell the baseball. Come on out. You know, you may say watch the future stars of tomorrow, but come on out to the ballpark, enjoy the food, enjoy the camaraderie, enjoy the entertainment, you know, all the elements that make minor league baseball fun. Oh, by the way, we're playing good baseball too, and that's also part of the attraction. It's the camaraderie. It's the being together. It's the socialization. It's a gathering point. You go there, and you may not see a friend for 2 weeks, for example, and suddenly you go to the high school football game on Friday night, and they're there. And you're watching the game, and you're chit-chatting, and, of course, if it's sitting next to you, they're analyzing.
No, they're listening to me analyze.
Can't you have fun at these things?
No, it's no, I can't. there's a question. There's a question. Do you want to sit next to somebody who watches the game or someone who analyzes the game?
Boy. You know, and then let's take it to a bigger scale. Saturdays at Penn State football. What's a big part of the experience? Well, tailgating is a huge part of the experience. Going to a Penn State football game and being out there in the parking lot, seeing people you haven't seen maybe since last November, haven't seen them, you know, team's been on the road the last 3 weeks, and you're out there and you're grilling and you have a spread out on the table and it's before the game and you're going to be back there after the game. You know, and the game is all the centerpiece of it, but you go out there and it's the entire weekend of it. It's great to be on campus. It's great to see old friends again. It's great to tailgate. It's great to socialize, have a few laughs, talk about a passion that you have, which happens to be college football. Then go to the game. Throw your soul into seeing the game play out in front of you and the ups and downs and the pain of, oh my goodness, what happened there, to the ecstasy of, I can't believe, look what my team just did. And then after the game, going back to the parking lot, enjoying more socialization, talking about the game, and having fun. It's just, it's a release. Hey, it's letting go. You know, we have enough pressure in life to begin with. I mean, enough pressure in life. I mean, sports is just a great way to do that. It's great for kids as a release to go out and participate and play in it, and it's great for fans to be a part of as well. Now, for us,
I miss the tailgate.
I can't begin to tell you how lucky. I mean, to sit in the best seat in the house and talk about it.
Oh, there's no question. That beats anything. But I have to admit, I do miss the tailgate part of it.
Oh. I don't really think about it too much. but, I mean, Jack and I will go out after the game. And
you have your own tailgate in the booth.
They do bring us things. But it's... But you sit there in that seat, and you look out, and you get to describe all of this, right? You know, and I enjoy going out on a Friday night and seeing a high school game. And it, when I go, I don't analyze the game, Kevin.
But you go when you don't have a stake in the game. That's different. I mean, if I went to a high school game just to go to a high school game, which, by the way, I haven't done in about 30 years.
Right, now I understand that. Now, I mean, but you're talking about when you're not announcing a game.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, this past year, now, look, someone asked me. They said, as I was paying to get into a JV game, they said, "When was the last time you paid to get in a game?" I said, "You know what? I might have been in high school the last time that happened." So I don't get to too many games where you could just have fun watching it.
But when my sons played sports, I watched them. But I was also very conscientious, all right, to make sure I was supportive I thought that was really important, to be as supportive of everyone else. So in other words, if your son, Kevin, made a big play, I was the first guy up and cheering for him as they did something, because I thought that was important. But I would watch my children, I'd lock in on them as to what they were doing, because, they're mine. But, while watching the whole thing, I didn't sit there and analyze the game. I just, support was the biggest part for me.
Game analyzation comes afterwards, though. Just kidding.
Oh, jeez.